Hello and welcome back to the Deep Dive. It is February 7, 2026. And look, usually we start these with a bit of energy, maybe a surprising stat to get things going.
Yeah, get the blood pumping.
But I think we need to read the room today. I mean, if you work in IT, or frankly, if you just exist online, we're all just barely catching our breath.
Catching our breath is... that's putting it mildly. I've spoken to CISOs this past week who look like they haven't slept since New Year's Eve.
It really feels that way. I was looking at the industry forums, and the burnout rate is just spiking from the last 4 weeks alone.
Mm-hmm.
January 2026 wasn't just a bad month for cybersecurity.
No.
It felt like a paradigm shift.
Yeah.
We have this massive analytical report here from Taken Plus, and they basically frame January as the month the digital world woke up and chose violence.
Absolute violence, yeah.
They call it a period that, and I'm quoting here, shook IT managers to their core.
And for good reason. You know, we spend so much time on this show talking about the shiny side of tech, the speed, the AI integration.
All the good stuff.
But this report is basically the invoice coming due for all that progress. It argues that the digital landscape of 2026 just... it bears no resemblance to the past.
And all that progress has opened up what Taken Plus calls deep holes in global security.
Exactly.
Deep holes.
So that's the mission for this deep dive. We aren't just going to list the attacks. We all saw the headlines.
Oh, I got the push notifications, yeah.
We're going to autopsy them. We're unpacking this analysis to understand why this is happening now. And specifically looking at this new generation of hackers, the report calls them fast, smart, and ruthless.
And automated. That's the key word we're going to keep coming back to.
Right.
These aren't just, you know, guys in hoodies typing fast in a basement anymore. We're talking about early quantum computing and fully autonomous AI agents. The adversaries have upgraded their tools so much more than the defenders have.
It's a terrifying thought.
Yeah.
So here's the roadmap for the next 15 minutes or so. We're going to walk through the three main nightmares of January.
First, the evolution of CEO fraud into something.
Yeah.
Unrecognizable. Then ransomware shifting into actual digital terrorism with the Medlock case.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, that silent, creepy threat of supply chain attacks like we saw with GlobalMart.
But we're not just going to leave you in a panic. The report actually ends with a very specific, maybe a little controversial, survival guide.
Three pillars to actually get through this year.
Exactly.
Okay, let's get into it. I want to start with a thing that honestly kept me up last night after reading this. CEO fraud 2.0.
Or deepfake phishing, yeah.
It's the death of trust your eyes.
Completely.
I mean, we used to laugh at phishing, right? But think back to like 2015, the Nigerian prince emails, all the typos.
To your customer, yeah. You had to be pretty distracted to fall for it.
Right. But those days are dead.
Oh, totally dead. If you're banking on bad grammar to save you now, you've already lost.
So set the scene for us.
Yeah.
Because the scenario Taken Plus describes isn't some shady email.
No. It's a Tuesday morning, you're a financial manager, your Teams rings, you answer, and it's your CEO, high def video.
Okay.
You see the office background you recognize, the art on the wall, the lips move perfectly, the blinking is natural, and they say, hey, listen, we're closing that acquisition. I need you to wire the deposit to this account immediately and keep it quiet.
And because you're looking them right in the eye, hearing their voice,
yeah,
maybe they even, like... clear their throat in that way they always do.
Yeah.
You do it.
You do it immediately. And here is the stat from the report that should scare everyone.
What is it?
In January 2026, for organizations that didn't have specific multi-stage authentication for these kinds of requests, this attack had an 85% success rate.
85%. That's basically everyone.
Mm.
My first instinct is my boss a hologram?
Exactly. Our brains are hardwired to trust what we see and hear. We haven't evolved to doubt a face looking right at us.
Oh, wait. How is this happening so casually? I mean, Hollywood spends millions on CGI and it can still look fake.
That's the thing. It's the democratization of this tech. The report says these groups are using cheap, off-the-shelf AI tools from the dark web. They don't need a 3D scan of the CEO.
So what do they need?
They just need, get this, a few seconds of audio.
A few seconds. From what, a LinkedIn video?
A LinkedIn video, an Instagram story, a conference talk. That's it. The AI builds a model of the face, maps the voice to it, and just renders it in real time. It can even react to what you're saying.
So seeing is literally no longer believing. What do I trust then? The report mentions out-of-band verification.
Which sounds super technical, but it's really not.
It's just... call them back.
Essentially, yes, but you have to break the digital loop. If the request comes on video, you verify it on their personal cell phone, not the office line that might be compromised, or you physically walk down the hall.
Okay, but let's be real. If the CEO calls me and demands something urgent, and I say, hang on, I need to call you back to make sure you're real, I feel like I'm getting fired.
And that's the social pressure they exploit. But the report argues corporate culture has to change. If you don't verify, you are the vulnerability. You have to step outside the simulation to check if it's real.
That's exhausting. But I get it. The protocol has to beat the politeness. Okay, let's shift gears. The third week of January, the report looks at the healthcare sector.
Mm-hmm.
And they use a phrase I think we need to sit with. Digital terrorism.
It's a heavy term, but after reading the breakdown of the Medlock attack, I think it fits. I don't think criminal is enough anymore.
Right. This was the hospital network attack. Usually ransomware is, you know, give us Bitcoin. And Medlock did demand $50 million.
Yeah, but the damage wasn't just financial. This is where the digital world crashes into the physical one.
What do you mean?
Medlock didn't just encrypt the billing database. It took the smart surgical devices offline. It cut the connection to patient monitoring systems in the ICU.
The report said doctors couldn't access allergy lists in the ER.
Imagine being a surgeon. You're prepping for a procedure, and the system that controls anesthesia just goes dark, or the health record vanishes. You have no idea if this person is allergic to penicillin.
You're flying blind. This wasn't just an inconvenience. It was life and death.
The report calls it cutting off the oxygen of the organization. When you target a hospital like that, knowing it will cripple patient care, you're holding lives hostage. That's terrorism.
And the part that's so frustrating, the report points out this wasn't some, you know, impossible to stop super weapon. It was a basic vulnerability.
It's the tragedy of legacy tech. So many of these hospitals were running management software that hadn't been updated in years.
Years.
Yeah.
In 2026. How is that even possible?
I know it sounds negligent, but to play devil's advocate, patching medical systems is a nightmare. You can't just reboot the MRI machine for a Windows update.
Right.
These systems have FDA certifications, complex dependencies. IT managers are terrified that if they patch one thing, the heart monitor driver breaks.
So they're paralyzed by the fear of breaking it, which leaves the door open for someone else to break it even worse.
Exactly. But the report says that excuse is gone. In 2026, running old software is like leaving your front door wide open.
So what's the fix then?
The lesson from Taken Plus is that ransomware response isn't just call the IT guy anymore. It's full-on crisis management. It requires immediate cooperation with government security agencies. It's a disaster scenario.
It really highlights how fragile everything is. And speaking of fragile foundations, let's talk about the third crisis, the silent invasion.
Ah, the supply chain attacks. This is the one that really keeps CISOs up at night. If deepfakes are the loud explosion, this is the poison in the water supply.
I like that analogy. Because with Global Mart, the big retail case,
yeah.
They didn't even know they were sick.
Not at all. Global Mart is a retail giant. They spend millions on firewalls, on intrusion detection. A frontal assault would be incredibly hard.
So the hackers didn't attack them directly?
No. They attacked a small third-party vendor that makes some inventory software Global Mart uses. And they didn't even really attack that vendor. They injected malicious code into an open source library that the vendor's developers used to build their tool.
So it's like a nesting doll of trust. Global Mart trusts the inventory software, the software trusts the open source code, and that code was poisoned.
It's the modern Trojan horse. The hackers put the code in there and they just waited.
Mm-hmm.
When Global Mart updated their system, doing the right thing, by the way, they pulled the Trojan horse inside the gates themselves.
And the report says they were inside for 3 weeks.
3 weeks. Totally undetected. Because from the firewall's perspective, this was legitimate, trusted software doing its job. Meanwhile, they're siphoning off customer data, purchase patterns, everything.
So the lesson here is your security doesn't stop at your own...
At your perimeter. Exactly. Yeah. It's about supply chain security. You have to vet the code you use and the code your partners use. You need to know where every digital brick in your building comes from.
That sounds impossible. I mean, modern software has thousands of dependencies.
It's very difficult, but that's the cost of doing business now. If you don't have a software bill of materials and ingredient list for your code, you are flying blind.
Let's zoom out for a second. We have deepfakes, massive ransomware, supply chain attacks, all peaking in 1 month. The report says the speed is accelerating because of two things, early quantum processors and automated exploitation.
This is the why behind the chaos, yes.
Let's talk quantum first, because quantum usually sounds like sci-fi.
It's becoming reality. The report says early quantum systems are starting to be used to break traditional encryption. They can factor large numbers, which is the basis of things like RSA, exponentially faster than a normal computer.
So the locks we've used for 20 years are basically starting to rust.
And fast. But the bigger immediate threat, honestly, is the automation part. We were seeing these AI botnets that scan thousands of targets a day.
It's not a human typing code anymore.
No. It's an AI running an optimization algorithm. It breaks in, maps the network, finds the valuable data, and encrypts it all before a human security analyst has even had their morning coffee. It's machine versus machine.
And we saw that with the infrastructure attacks, the power grids.
Right. This is where cyber caused real physical damage. Hackers got into the industrial control systems, the ICS, the systems that tell a turbine how fast to spin.
And they just messed with the settings.
They ramped up the voltage. They physically blew out transformers. This wasn't about data. This was about causing smoke and fire.
The goal was paralysis.
Total disruption. Paralyzing regional economies. The report actually brings up the regional context here, and it references Iran as a focal point for some of these attacks in January.
Yeah, I saw that section. It mentioned attacks on government service platforms there as well.
And the report's analysis of the defense strategy is interesting. It's impartial, but it highlights this concept of layered domestic systems.
What does that actually mean?
It means not putting all your eggs in the global internet basket. The report says that for national stability, you need passive defense.
So like a separate internal network.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah.
Building redundant, secure domestic networks that can keep the lights on and the banks running, even if the main global connection gets hit. It's like a backup generator for a country's entire internet.
The report calls it more necessary than daily bread.
Which tells you how critical this has all become.
Okay, I think we've sufficiently scared everyone. We've got AI hackers, exploding transformers, and fake CEOs.
Yeah.
It feels like we are bringing a knife to a nuclear fight.
It can feel that way. But this is where the Tech and Plus report earns its keep. They don't just admire the problem. They offer a real survival guide.
The three pillars of defense. Let's go through these because some of them sound like a huge pain.
They are. Let's do it.
Okay, strategy number one, cold storage. Now, I have cloud backups. The report says that's not enough.
Not anymore. That automated AI we talked about, the first thing it does is hunt for your backups. If your backup is on the network, the AI finds it and wipes it. Then it encrypts your main drive.
Mm.
Now you have zero leverage.
So cold storage means literally offline.
Air-gapped. A hard drive sitting in a fireproof safe. You take it out once a week, plug it in, back up, and put it back.
That feels so analog.
Oh.
So 1999.
It is, but physics is the only security left. You can't hack a hard drive that isn't plugged in. The other option they mention is immutable repositories.
Break that down for me.
It's a storage setting where data, once it's written, cannot be changed or deleted for a set period, like 30 days. Even if a hacker gets full admin access, the system physically refuses the delete command.
Okay, I like that better. Saves me from buying a safe. Strategy number two. Hardware, 2FA.
This is a big one,
yeah.
And probably the most annoying for people.
I still get SMS codes from my bank. The report was pretty harsh on that.
Harsh is polite. They basically declared SMS unsafe.
Because of SIM swapping.
It's just too easy now. I can call your phone company with a deep fake voice, pretend to be you, and switch your number to my phone in minutes. Then I get your bank codes. It's broken.
So the gold standard is a physical key, a YubiKey or something like it.
Exactly. A physical USB key you plug in, combined with biometrics. The report calls passwords plastic locks. You need a steel bolt. You need something a hacker can't steal over the internet.
They can steal my password, they can steal my SMS code, but they can't reach through the screen and grab the key off my keychain.
That's it. It forces them to be physically present, which 99.9% of them won't be.
Okay, last one. Strategy three. This one sounds boring, but they insist it's critical. Ruthless patching.
It is boring. Nobody likes that update and restart notification.
I hit remind me in 4 hours every single time.
We all do. But here's the reality check from the report. The Medlock hospital attacks. They exploited a hole that had a patch available for months.
Months.
Months. The lockmaker sent everyone a new key, and the hospital just left it in the mailbox.
So the strategy has to be automation again.
Yes. You fight fire with fire. If hackers use automated bots to find holes, you need automated systems to patch them instantly. The time between a bug being found and hackers using it is now measured in hours, not weeks.
So, cold storage, hardware keys, and automated patching. That's the triad.
That's the baseline for survival. Do those three things, you're harder to hack than 95% of other targets, and the AI will just move on to someone easier.
But
yep.
We have to talk about how the report ends.
Yeah.
Because despite all the tech, all the hardware keys, they end on a philosophical note.
The human element.
We're still the glitch in the system.
Always. You can have the best firewall in the world, quantum encryption.
Oh.
But if a stressed out employee opens the digital gate because the CEO asked nicely on a video call,
the fortress falls.
So the report says training isn't a once a year compliance video anymore. It has to be a culture. People need to be trained to spot deepfakes, to question authority, to report weird stuff immediately.
It really reinforces that security isn't a status you achieve. You don't just get secure and then you're done.
No, it's a permanent path. You have to walk it every single day.
Oh. This has been an absolute reality check. It is a scary world out there in 2026.
It is, but we can survive it. We just have to adapt.
Before we go, though.
Yeah.
You mentioned something to me before we started recording, a thought you had about the deepfake section.
Yeah. It's just something to leave you with. We talked about hackers cloning your boss's face to steal money.
Right.
Well, if they can do that, how long until they can clone your digital identity entirely? Not just your voice, your history, your writing style from all your emails, your online interactions, a perfect digital clone of you.
That is incredibly disturbing.
And if that clone is perfect and we live so much of our lives online, how would you prove digitally that you are the real you? If I'm talking to you on a screen and the AI is talking to me on another screen and you're identical, who's real?
I'm going to be staring at the ceiling thinking about that all night. Thank you for the nightmare fuel.
You are very welcome.
And thank you to everyone listening. This has been the deep dive into the realities of January 2026. Get yourself a hardware key, back up your data offline, and please update your software right now. We'll catch you on the next one.
Stay secure.